Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Happy November, everybody. Welcome to episode number, believe it or not, unbelievable, 85 of No Spin Rodeo. My name, Tommy Joe Lucia. The pilot of this ship, Miss Kendra Santos, the first lady in pro rodeo journalism. Hello, Kendra. How are you this bright fall day?
I'm great. Yourself?
I'm blessed. Family's healthy. Everybody's good. Starting to get stuff in order for the NFR. I always think this time of year that I'm going to... Oh, well, I'll tell you a little sideline that's interesting about me. So we love to eat deer meat, and I'm not a big-time hunter. My wife bought me a gun 15 years ago. I've shot it twice. Well, when we bought this place in Lipan, I told her, I said, if I'm going to hunt a deer, I'm going to sit on my back porch and hunt deer on my back porch. And we've been here a couple of years now, and I put a feeder out. Well, Sunday morning, while in my slippers with a hot cup of coffee in my hand, sitting on my back porch with my rifle, Hunter Tommy Joe shot a record 14-point whitetail and harvested him on his own place. And he's going to be mounted in our living room. And so...
After you chummed him with grain, Yosemite Sam?
They all chum them with grain. Everybody puts out feeders. At least I don't have a high fence, and I didn't spend $10,000 to go on somebody else's place where they give them lick cubes so they have... This was... The only thing I could have done better was being a bow hunter and, like, put on the musky smell and pretend like I'm a doe and... get within 40 feet, but
I have had to have the musky smell. I don't know what is up with Oat loves to coyote hunt, and he has more than once put me in some of his camo. For whatever reason, you all refuse to wash the camo because apparently, you know, scented Tide might throw the scent or something like that. So we sit there and we sit there. And I am good with hunting things and eating it. That's great. And my only thing, I know what coyotes are. I know who they are. But the only thing that tripped me up the one day is when he shot the mom. I'm like, this sounds so sick as a mom. But I'm like, she had two babies. And I'm like, well, you can't just kill the mother and then let the baby. I mean, you're going to have to kill the babies too. And then I'm like, what? Anyway.
Well, I'm not a hunter. I don't know. Again, I was in almost my bathrobe. And the funny thing is that's typical of me, right? I'm not going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and crawl out into my stand and all that other stuff. And so anyway, yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
You could probably have a stand for Asher and Jude and then a treehouse that doubles as a stand.
Well, my daughter-in-law is a big time hunter, Chase's wife, Aubrey. And it did not please her when she found out I shot the big buck and didn't let her come do it. So there you go. Oh, well. Hey, what's going on? What all you got on your list? We've got some fun stuff to talk about in our huddle.
Just think it's really a thing we should say up front is to let people know that this episode 85 that we're doing today on November 18th is our last before we hit the ground running daily. During the NFR, which the run of the NFR this year is Thursday, December 4th through Saturday, December 13th. And we will again be daily on the Cinch stage at the Cowboy Commons over at Cowboy Christmas at the Convention Center in Las Vegas from 9:30 to 10:30 Pacific time. And so we are going to take Thanksgiving week off along with the rest of the world to feast with family and friends and to pack for the NFR. And then, of course, we won't do it Tuesday evening when we get out there a couple nights before the NFR starts because it's NFR back number night, which you are producing. And then oh yeah, you have to put your headset down and get the Danita Barnes Award on stage. So anyway, by the way, did you guys decide if all five people are getting on the stage or not?
They are not.
They're not. Okay.
We're going to do a live shot of them, though. It's a hybrid. We're going to do a live shot of them, not on stage, at a separate location where you can see them live and interacting, and then just the winner will take the stage. So I think it'll be it's a nice balance between the different sides of this story. And okay. Donna and I just went, you know, it's this time of year that we make our annual trip to Lowe's to buy our black tubs with yellow lids to stick in our closet to start throwing all of our NFR clothes in that we'll throw in the trailer that'll go to Vegas that we'll wheel in several carts and pop open. I don't know if you have a tradition of getting all your junk for 14 days to Vegas, but that's what Don and I do.
Well, why don't you reuse the tubs, said frugal girl.
Well, no, we do, but they get holes in them and the crew takes them and the guys take them. And I don't know, okay. She doesn't want dirty tubs.
Okay. And the other thing about before we leave NFR back number 9 is that, again, I believe the NFR contestants' families are going to get a special little front row place to be, right?
Yep. They get to go right along the runway during their discipline, and the PRCA works to kind of bring them in and out during their discipline so they can get shots and high five their significant others.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. So before we, cause today is going to be all about the NFR, but because we just crowned our first world champion of 2025, I just wanted to say, hit a couple of the high notes of that. The 2025, National Final Steer Roping just played out Friday and Saturday nights in Mulvane, Kansas at the Kansas Star. And Cole Patterson won his third straight and fourth overall world championship. And it was wild at the end because that rookie of the year this year, Riley O'Rourke, was splitting the win. It came right down to it, and Cole was the last roper of the whole event to rope, and he was 8.5, which is the fastest run of the whole roping to win the world title. It was very dramatic. And then Jess Tierney was the only guy who was 10 for 10, so he won the average. Scott Snedeker, another four-time world champ, was the high money winner with 61 grand. That's a cool event. It really does go bam, bam, bam. It's like the breakaway roping in Vegas, you know, where it's 5 rounds each night. Like, there's no, you know, no BS. But,
well, and my team goes up there, and Chase Lucia, my son, said, "Dad, that final round was as good of watching as you'll ever see." He said it was fantastic. And, you know, that's kind of their own family up there, and they replicate a lot of stuff that happens in Vegas. And I think they've turned that into a really good celebration, right? It's a good celebration and a good event. And but Chase said, "Oh, Dad, you're that rookie. He was right up in the oh and on and on." So he said the same thing. He said it was unbelievably exciting.
Yeah, he ran one off down there a ways and just absolutely stuck it on him, like. The first night, it was a little bit rocky for him. And then the second night, he's like, heck with this, you know. And it was very fun. And I'm trying to think, and I can think of two out of the three special awards off the top of my head. I know that Darwin McGowan gives a special award for his son, Dixon, who's no longer with us. And for the first time, they gave a Roy Cooper Award in round 6. And the first NFSR round Roy ever won was in round 6. And anyway, it was Roy would have been tickled by that. So anyway, it's you know, and of course they recognize the horse of the year, which is Slade Woods Jr., won his second horse of the year title, and he's fancy. And but it's a good, you know, it's in the middle of the country, and that's where that event, you know, will thrive. So congratulations to all those guys and everybody who got there. And yeah. So by the way, the legacy winner was Don Ed Edelman, who is the event rep for Steer Uppers and all of the PRCA. So we better roll into some NFR stuff before we bring on tonight's guest, which is the perfect guest to talk about the NFR and the facts and the details and maybe some things people don't already know. But of course, this year is 40 years in Vegas. And I will zip through, you know, every night is kind of a special night. And so many people every year ask me, you know, which night is Memorial Night? Which night is Pink Night and all this? And so opening night, Thursday, December 4th, is Throwback Night, which I don't know that I've heard that term used before, but where they're going to have the 1985 World Champs open the show. And then
and all the women have to wear their Rockies. And a lot of Aquanet, and you got to get your hair to stick up because everybody is supposed to throw back, including the fans.
Okay, well, that's actually going to be fun because I have the big, huge button or whatever that Oates' mom wore to cheer for him at the 1985 NFR number 17. And of course, those buttons at that time were sponsored by Coors, you know, and, it's super cool. So anyway, I don't know what to say about having a boyfriend that won his first title 40 years ago. But anyway, nights two and three, we have Friday night and Saturday night. Okay, this year's NFR icons. We have Benny Binion, Sean Davis, who's a three-time world champion saddle bronc rider, longtime NFR general manager. Those two guys were very, you know, pivotal in bringing the finals to Vegas, of course. And they will be celebrated on Saturday the 6th. On December 5th, six-time world champion Dan Mortensen on Friday night is going to be celebrated, he's tied for the most gold buckles in that event with Casey Tibbs, right?
I think so. I think that's
right. I think that's right. So I actually had a great visit with him the other day. And so that's always fun to see those guys. December 6th, Saturday, is also Golden Circle of Champions night. Sunday night, per tradition, December 7th is Memorial Night, which there are so many this year. Somebody said like 30 or something, which it's a lot of people to lose in 1 year. But Monday, December 8th is Tough Enough to Wear Pink Night. Tuesday, December 9th is Resist All Rookie Night. Wednesday, December 10th is Military Night. Thursday, December 11th is Canadian Night, where they open with the singing of O Canada. That's always cool. Friday, December 12th, Legacy Night. And Saturday, December 13th is Wrangler National Patriot Night. And stats. Okay, I think we've talked about the payoff. Of course, it's another record payoff, but $13.5 million to contestants alone, plus $1.2 million. Every all 120 contestants get a check for 10 grand when they get there. So it's 14.7 looks like to contestants. Go-Rans this year, $36,668 all 10 nights to win the rounds. And then the average first is $94,035. And that's per man on the team roping. So, I mean, that's cool. And that's where, indeed, everybody has a chance, right? So, anyway, are there things that you want to say before we bring on LVE President Tim Keenan?
Well, the only thing I would encourage people to do, we're a part of doing, we do the back number and we do the breakaway, you know. The breakaway finals, some things if you're looking for some stuff to do when you're at the NFR, I would encourage you to see if your plans can have you go to the breakaway finals at South Point, because it's very, very good competition and a whole lot of fun. The other thing is, you know, if you ride the buses to Thomas and Mack, or even if you drive, I would encourage you, we've done a lot of work on that pro rodeo zone out front. And it's actually a place that you can get there early. You can have a beer. You can do some stuff. They'll have Rodeo Live there. The Cowboy Channel will have guests live on, really good commentary. There's big screens, and we put cocktail tables out, and you can sit out there. And if it's a little cool, we have heaters. There's a lot of fun stuff to do. And I would encourage you, if you want to get there early, right? Those buses run early, get there early. Because you can, riding those buses is way better than, I mean, there's about 70,000 people that use it now, and they drop you off right at the fan zone, like right there. And you can walk in, get a beer, run a Heston excavator, watch Rodeo Live, go into the bar, the big Coors bar that they put there where there's music. And so it's just, it's worth thinking about coming early and being a part of the fan zone. That's all I would say.
Okay. So yeah, our nightly tradition is Oat Night. We're always coming from the convention center over at the Junior NFR. And so we get to the Thomas and Mack parking lot early, you know, pretty early. So then he reclines and takes a cat nap, and I write a story in the front seat of his truck, but I always take a break and run over to the porta potty through the fan zone. But there's so much going on, and the music is amazing. So we have like a personal, you know, concert there, and there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot in that fan zone these days. A lot of people do come early and enjoy it.
So, it's changed. There's a lot of people that come there and enjoy it, but it's worth it. It's worth trying it once because I think you'll like it.
And then on the shuttles, which that is a big one. Then after the rodeo is over, you go out there, you jump on a shuttle, and then they make the rounds to all the hotels, correct?
Yeah, they basically have full buses. They're not shuttles. Like, these are the big fancy buses, right? And you just, if you're going to Gold Coast, you go here. If you're going to South Point, it's the far to the right. It's a bigger line usually because more people go there. But it is amazing how fast. I mean, they're running 65 people or whatever it is, very comfortable with video screens in the buses. Right. It's just, and it's free, right?
It's you don't free. Have to park. So you don't have to pay to park. You don't have to fight traffic. You just can just chill. And that way too, you can have a few beers at the rodeo if you want, right?
Correct. Good point. Well, we told our guest they would be on 5 minutes ago, so I'm going to let him know to come on in. We have a really cool guest. You know, we try to bring people that are unique and have a unique perspective. And since this was titled the NFR Huddle, we thought one of our guests that will be joining us shortly is the president of Las Vegas Events. And so I think we'll have some pretty fun conversation with Mr. Keener. So we'll see when he jumps in. But again, there's a lot of fun stuff to do, and there's all kinds of stuff to do in and around the Thomas and Mack. I mean, there really is. You can walk around for 30 minutes and, you know, Pa can be entertained and so can Ma and have a good time. There's a lot that can happen there.
Well, the people watching is spectacular, and then right in front on the right by the front steps, Coleman Proctor and Luke Branquino do a show, the Purina show. I get to join them before round 10. And we should back up and say that for people who might want to go to the National Finals Breakaway, we're open at the South Point. That is Tuesday and Wednesday, December 2nd and 3rd. So it's the 2 days before the NFR kicks off. So yeah.
Yeah, and if you haven't, the bag number, the welcome reception and bag number ceremony is a free event, right? And it's super, super cool. I don't know if I waited too long on Tim, and maybe in Vegas there, he's already I know he can get on because we tried it earlier, so we'll have Tim. But yeah, the bag number ceremony, that's on. That's at the upper ballrooms at the South Point on Tuesday night. Then Wednesday night's the awards banquet. Now, that's a tabled event. The tickets are impossible to get. And people come to that event. But I know my crew loves the breakaway roping. everybody that's attended the breakaway roping there at South Point has always said it was fantastic to be a part of. So, and there's a trade show over there. You know, it's interesting because when I was doing a little research on Tim, I think there's 6 trade shows that are going on. The big one, Las Vegas Events handles. But I will verify this with Tim, but I understand that there's 28 viewing parties. 28 viewing parties. And so that's a lot, you know, and I think they have 300 to 400 people at those. And now all of those hotels, you know, hire talent and there's big screens and you watch the rodeo live and you get drinks. And then in between on the breaks, they're, you know, they're entertaining you and you can do it right at your hotel. So there's just so many ways to enjoy the NFR. Here he is joining us now. He's all bundled up. All bundled up because it's usually pretty frigid in Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of Las Vegas Events joining us is Tim Keener. Hello, Tim.
Good evening, Tommy, Joe, Kendra. It's always good to see you. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you. I was just texting Michael Mack like, hey, do you know where Tim is?
It's been raining here. We rarely get rain. So rained on Saturday, a half inch, which is a lot. And today it rained again, and I've got a jacket on at home, and so I'm not used to it. But rain is good; we need it.
Yeah, is that golf course got any water in it now? You think that we played?
It's probably cart path only right now, Tom and Joe.
Okay, I'm going to make a comment before we go into here, Tim. We've been at a lot of Sean Davis's production meetings over the years. And you know how they do a before and after picture of the presidents of the United States?
Yeah.
You didn't used to have gray hair before you had this job.
Yeah, that's thanks for pointing that out. That's what 3 years on the job replacing Pat will do for you. You haven't aged at all. I got to say that.
So. Good answer.
Good rebuttal. Go with the silver fox approach.
Jeez, Tommy Joe, I told you I should have put a ball hat on.
Well, no, he said, hey, should I wear a cowboy hat? And I don't think I'll offend Tim here. But yeah. When Tim puts a cowboy hat on, he looks a lot like Woody off of Toy Story. Like the hat does not naturally caress Tim. Now that's my personal narrative, Tim. You probably don't agree, but you're not a cowboy. You're not a cowboy hat guy from way back, right? That's fair to say.
No, when I had left ESPN in Charlotte and came out to work for Pat, all my boys back at ESPN are like, "What are you working on? What are you working on?" And I'm like, well, there's some rodeo that they got me working on, and they kept wanting a picture of me. And I've used that analogy of Woody from Toy Story, and they finally got a picture of me like in year two. And I'm not a cowboy. Bo Gardner's our resident cowboy on staff. I'm a 10-day cowboy. I'm a concrete cowboy. But we love the NFR. The staff does. And I might have been an ESPN guy, a football, basketball, but now I know a lot more about rodeo than I ever thought I would, and we just love it here at LVE.
Awesome.
So you came from West Virginia, right?
Yes, West
That's
by God.
That's a culture shock. West you go by from God, West Virginia, where I researched that you, is it true you... Catholic schoolboy with like 50 kids in your graduating class, and now you've got a high rise in Vegas. How does that work?
Well, yeah, we had a small class. There were like 70 kids in the class, and my mom worked in the lunchroom. And every night I would come home from school, she knew everything that went on at school. So finally, all my classmates, I'm like, you go through the line, it's hello, Mrs. Keener, give me a scoop of this, scoop of that. No chatter until you got to the table because she knew everything, you know. But with us Catholic kids, we were fun. It was a fun place to grow up, and you were altar boy growing up. And you know, I always had the Friday funerals. And I don't mean to be morbid, but Me and Jerry Sodero, if Ole Miss Haddad was not looking too good on Monday, it could be Friday. We got out a half day of school and we got to go do the mass and all that and do our Catholic service. And so we took that very seriously.
That's cool.
Okay, as president of Las Vegas Events, like, I don't know how many events you guys bring to town each year or where the NFR ranks in all of that.
Well, the NFR is right at the top of the list, okay? There's nothing that LVE does that's bigger than the annual NFR. I mean, and on top of that, we've got Cowboy Christmas, we got Junior NFR, but next April, we are producing the NCAA Frozen Four, and that's the Final Four of hockey. And we bid on that like 6 years ago, and it's finally here. That event went on sale the 1st of October, and we're down to 200 tickets left. So fans of all sports and genres, they just love to come to Vegas. And rodeo fans are the best, but, you know, Raider fans, the opposing fans come in. You know, Golden Knights, whoever they're playing, fans come to town. Vegas, who doesn't want to come to Vegas to watch your favorite team play?
Fair.
Well, it seems to me that Vegas very strategically decided to invite cowboy hats after Thanksgiving, because before the NFR, all the cabbies told me they didn't have much for work. What do you say to that?
That's absolutely true. I mean, Michael Gong, who's been on our LVE board and NFRC forever, he tells the stories that back before the rodeo came in the 80s, that was when the hotels would kind of shut down or just slow down a little bit. They would change carpet, do maintenance. They had all these projects that they had lined up because right after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, that's when you squeezed in all this upkeep. But the minute the NFR came, it took a year or two to really, you know, anchor itself here. It started selling out in 1988. But now there is no time for all this upkeep in December because it turns into cowboy town. All the hotels are active in – we have 26 sponsor hotels that – Bo Gardner brings in. So the whole city, it's a true citywide event. And the hotels love it. The cabbies love it. And we just love it when it turns into cowboy town. And, you know, we just can't wait. And then all of a sudden it's over. And, you know, we got a plan for the following year.
And you guys do plan year round. Do you? I know you do. So I'm not, it's not even a question. I looked today at the economic impact of the NFR in Las Vegas. And last year in 2024, it was $156 million, not even including Cowboy Christmas. I've heard about the ghost town in December stuff. I just, to talk more about, like, that's been like, a massive transformation. I mean, there's the place, I don't even know what the population booms to in those, the fact of, I guess they call it what destination, whatever. I don't know what all the terms are of tourism, but
yeah,
but it's like, how many people come to town that don't even have tickets to the rodeo?
Yeah. That's a great question. The economic impact is always something that we like to work on from a year-to-year basis. A couple of years ago, a number came out. It was $200 million. We still think that's low, Kendra, because what we're doing this year is we're researching all the viewing parties in town. These hotels, they put on these bang-up viewing parties, downtown event center. They'll host 1,000 to 1,500. South Point has a couple thousand. Orleans, all these MGM properties. And these are folks that come into town that a lot of them don't have tickets, and they're not really counted in the economic impact. They may go over one night and get a standing room ticket to get in the concourse or in the Cowboy Corral and that type of thing. But we've estimated about 10 years ago that there's double the crowd that's in town that we have at Tom Sumac, which is 17,000 on a nightly basis. So that's kind of a number to chew on right there. And then Cowboy Christmas, our attendance on the 10 days there averages 300,000 shoppers, okay? And there's only 170,000 ticket buyers. So all those other fans that come into town, they just want to be part of the Western lifestyle. And whether they got a ticket or not, they might come over one night. We've had people ride the bus over and just hang around in the pro rodeo zone where Tommy Joe organizes. They hang in the Coors Bar and ride a few bulls and do get in some shenanigans there. And next thing you know, they head back to the hotels or they stay at one of the viewing parties that are around town.
Well, and someone brilliantly placed a NFR shoot one out in front of the Thomas and Mac, and that's very popular for people to take pictures and different things. But while we mentioned tickets a few times, I wish I had a nickel for every person every year who asks me, you know, how do I get my hands on tickets? I always say, well, the one thing that I guess I would try would be the NFR ticket exchange at Cowboy Christmas. Do you have any better ideas? A, if somebody's desperate to get a ticket, the best way to get a ticket, and B, how to protect themselves from the scalpers?
Yeah, those are great questions. That the ticket exchange, Kendra, you take me back a few years. We actually eliminated that.
You did?
Back when we went digital. Yeah, it's okay.
When we went digital,
we couldn't have people turning in their hard tickets if they'd already digitized their tickets online. So we do not have the ticket exchange. But years ago, that was one of the more popular locations to get a ticket. But now, fans, we've teamed up with StubHub, and fans who have tickets, that's the official online secondary site where we like to say it's safe, secure, and authentic. And StubHub will guarantee your ticket buy, whereas there's other sites out there that sell fans tickets, and they show up at the gate and the barcode doesn't work and things like that. It just breaks our heart. We try to work with fans who've run into that situation, but the best place is StubHub. We do have an on-sale program in August where we sell about 600 seats in the upper level. And 600 seats is the top row of the Thomas and Mac. That's kind of what we hold back, and we do that kind of on a single-day basis and all that, just to give fans without a season ticket an opportunity to get in. But we also have the single-day program where fans could get a ticket that gets you in the arena and get you in the Cowboy Corral and the Cowboy Channel Bar, where you can watch it kind of in a viewing party type of situation. So we have a couple options there if you don't have season tickets or sponsor tickets. But, you know, fans get creative on that.
So we had a no spinner send in a comment, and you were the perfect guy to answer this. And you kind of did, but I'm going to get more specific. The question was basically, we've done all kinds of research trying to figure out how we can buy a ticket and when they go on sale. And we're scared we're going to get, you know, robbed on the secondary market, right? And can you help us out? We understand the goal. But what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, all of the tickets but 600 are taken, whether it's sponsor allocation, season ticket holders. And in August, you guys release 600 a night.
Yes.
That people can buy. Otherwise, your only option is through secondary. Is that correct?
Yes, or secondary, or friends. The families have tickets, and they give them out to different family members. And there's that standing room ticket that we sell on a nightly basis. We sell up to 1,000 tickets there, where fans could get in the arena. They may not have a ticket, but they could get in and watch at one of the two viewing locations. A lot of the contestants come up after they compete, and they come up to the Coors Bar and hang out. What other sport do you have where contestants compete, and then next thing you know, 10 minutes later, they're up mingling with fans? But, the no-spinner, they're spot on. That's a testament to the great rodeo fans we have out there. I mean, we sell 95% of the tickets on a season basis between our season ticket holders, the PRCA, their sponsors, the hotels. I mean, it's just evolved from year to year. And when a family who has tickets, a family member kind of passes on, there's a process where they're passed down to the next generation, and our ticket staff helps them kind of organize that process. A lot of tickets are in family trust now, so you don't have to worry about things like that. So our rodeo fans, I hate the fans that don't have tickets, but there are a few options out there to get in the building and all, and wish we had a larger venue, but we don't. And, you know, but we're here to help them wherever we can and promote the opportunity to buy those couple selective ticket options during the year.
Okay. So, well, so
only go ahead, Kendra.
On the, since StubHub is legit, are you saying go to StubHub.com and look for NFR tickets? Is that what you're saying about that?
You could go to NFRExperience.com. That's our official website. Okay. And through that ticket portal, You can look for tickets. To me, that's the safest place if you start with our site, nfrexperience.com, and then it feeds you over to StubHub, and that's our official site. And we like to make sure that fans start there first. They always have tickets. They sell more rodeo tickets on that resale site than any other place. All the other sites out there, they have their pluses and all, but there's other sites that don't look out for our rodeo fans, and they buy a ticket or a barcode they think works, and then they show up and you can't get in the door. So
right, I would love to say example from last year. Terry Wheatley is a very, very smart businesswoman, is the founder of Tough Enough to Wear Pink. Her husband, Jim Wheatley, was an NFR team roper. Her son, Wade Wheatley, an NFR team roper. She's very, very smart in the wine industry. And last year, she contacted me early on. And she, the cautionary tale here is it was a social media situation where, point being, every year, phony, fake, fraudulent social media accounts start up. This year, it's likely to be something along the lines of 2025 NFR or something like that.
Yeah.
And what they do is they hijack content. They might take it from me. They might take it from Las Vegas events. They might take it from wherever. So it looks legitimate. They might have, they might copy and paste a story I just wrote on Stetson Wright or whatever. And they get these people thinking they're legit. Well, they stole a bunch of money from the Wheatley family, who's a legacy rodeo family last year, full of smart people. So I'm just saying, warning people, be really careful of the social media sites that you bite on and give money to, because it's scary
and
stuff.
You also got to know that you can't take a picture of a ticket anymore and get scanned in. Because of all the fraud, these barcodes are moving, right, Tim? And so if you get a solid picture, like if you think, oh, I might not get my app open, I'm going to take a picture of my digital ticket, it won't scan. You've got to have that real thing, right, that's got the movement in it, so they know it's not fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, what we did this year, just because, Kendra, you're absolutely right, we can only encourage the no spinners out there listening to, if you don't have tickets, you know, start with StubHub, because we hate to see you go anywhere else and buy something you think is legit and you get to the door and it doesn't work, the barcode doesn't scan, or you buy a hotel from a broker on the sidewalk. Please don't. I mean, you know, chances are somebody's going to get burned on that. And you know, what we did this year just to help combat the fraud, because this is a sold-out event. So this is, you know, like the Super Bowls and these other high-profile events, tickets are at a premium. And this year, for the first time, we had our account holders, you had to choose whether you wanted the hard souvenir stock tickets or did you want digital tickets? Because in the past, we would send you your hard souvenir tickets, And then you had the ability to activate your ticket account. So you literally had two barcodes live on every night for all your tickets. And some people get confused. Kendra, somebody might hand out their hard tickets and not knowing that the wife had sent out the digital tickets for that same night. And what happens there is it's the first barcode gets through the door is the winner. And we eliminated that whole situation this year where if you have hard tickets, we turn your digital model off. If you have digital, you'll get souvenir tickets at the end of the rodeo in a customized box that we did here for the 40th. So a lot of people like, I want digital, but I like to collect souvenir tickets. So we took care of that as well. So we're trying to help on the combat the fraud and the duplication and all that. And there's just a lot of schemers out there that take advantage of not only rodeo fans, but fans of any major event. You just got to be careful. And that's why we try to tell you to take good custodial care of your hard tickets. And if you're going to buy online somewhere, please go through my NFR account on NFR Experience. I got it pulled up right now. And, you know, you got 16 days. Oh, man, 16 days and 32 minutes. I hate going to a website this close to the event because I look at it and I get the shivers and all. But go through NFR Experience. That's your safest place to start the ticket process.
So I've got a tough question that has been asked me, so I'm going to ask you. You sold out. Why not T-Mobile?
Well, T-Mobile, we looked at them when they were we caught them after they were in design phase. And if you've ever constructed a building, the minute they get into design phase and almost complete that, it's hard to go backwards. But the problem with T-Mobile right now is you have one tunnel, you have one production tunnel that comes in to the venue. Okay. And you're going to gain a couple thousand seats, but barrel racing would be a real challenge. Moving the stock inside and around, you would go back to probably moating the animals like you did back before the construction of the Cox Pavilion, where we created that second tunnel, eliminated the moat that was up front. And that's where the creation of the Gold Buckle ticket started, by the way. That's a little fact that you may have forgotten about, is once we didn't have to moat those animals in those first couple rows, then that's kind of what helped pay for the construction of the tunnel there. So we have two tunnels coming into Thompson Mack, and that's what works there. But Tommy Joe, it's really just production issues with the way T-Mobile set up.
Yeah, I had heard it was they didn't put a second tunnel in. They were too far along.
Yeah, that
we had talked about on No Spin, that moat being eliminated and the Gold Buckles being created prior to you getting on. So I just think that's I think the Thompson Mack feels like home. It's almost like the South Point feels like home, right? It's just the right spot.
You think of every contestant that is competing in this year's NFR, and as had been the case in recent years, that as they grew up and they became a rodeo cowboy or a barrel racer, their whole goal was to make it to Thompson Mack. Okay. And it's kind of like in golf, all these major golf tournaments play in rotational courses except the Masters. And golfers grow up, they want to win the Masters. And rodeo cowboys and girls grow up, they want to make it to Thompson Mack, where all the legends have competed. It's kind of like Yankee Stadium before they tore it down and built a new one, where Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and all those DiMaggio competed. Trevor and all the great Louis Field, and I'm going to forget people, but all the great cowboys and cowgirls of the past have competed in the same dirt that they're competing in this year. So that's the aura about Thompson Mack.
No doubt. When it comes to Las Vegas events and what all is Las Vegas Events list of responsibilities when it comes to producing the NFR? I'm guessing it's easier to list what you guys don't do, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, again, we just signed the extension about a year and a half ago with Tom Glass and the PRCA. And yes, we're partners on the event, and their expertise is rodeo administration, bringing the cowboys, getting the contestants there and all that. But LV, and they do all that throughout the year and during the 10 days of rodeo with scoring and all that. But LVE, what we do is we kind of handle the entire production team is hired by Las Vegas Events. We're kind of like a committee. Okay, we're like a committee. You know, you got Calgary, you got Houston, you got San Antonio, you got Cheyenne. We're a committee. And we happen to have a contract with the PRCA to produce their Super Bowl event. And we sell the tickets. We market the tickets. We're at risk on everything. We pay a lot of prize money out to this year alone, $13.5 million going to the contestants and over $4 million going to the stock contractors. So we sell the tickets. We market. Michael Mack and his social media team, they kill it. Bo Gardner, his group, they manage all the sponsorships. We run Cowboy Christmas with that 300,000 shoppers that come through, and the Junior Rodeo. We're real proud of that. And, you know, Shad Mayfield came up through the Junior Rodeo ranks. And I like to tell the story. It's like somebody competing at the Little League World Series in Williamsport, PA, and years later, competing in the World Series. That's what Shad did. And we've had several other champions that have come up. So
Riley,
the LBE staff, we got our hands full with everything at Thomas & Mack, all the front of house activities, Alan Reinheimer and his staff of 200 plus production contractors. So we handle all that stuff. We handle shuttles. We handle tickets, marketing. We interact with the hotels, just so many things, but we love it. We're so excited. 16 days and 26 minutes now. So it's and, getting close.
Yeah. Well, and on the Junior NFR, that's part of my day with Oat each day now.
Yeah.
And our first Junior NFR steer wrestling champion was Bridger Anderson in 2017. That's the first year they added steer wrestling. And yeah, this is Bridger's third NFR this year. And last year, one of our stars, Bridger, had been one of our champions in Oat Steel. And then last year, Cash Rob came to his first NFR and won it. And he was another star from the Junior NFR at Oat's event. So it's really cool to see. And
yeah, it is.
And I've just been talking. Clay Cooper, who won seven world titles at Thomas & Mack, and his first one was in 85, talking to him a couple days ago. And he said, you know, what they're doing these days, the experience these kids have by the time they turn 18, you know, they're fearless when they flip over. I mean, their learning curve is so, I mean, we didn't have these kinds of opportunities. And so he's like, it's making stars out of these young people because they're exposed to so much more. Yeah,
they are. They're ready. I mean, between Oat and all the other producers that Bo Gardner and Brylin Bentley bring in, they compete throughout the year and they qualify. We have like 700 plus contestants that come through and compete at the convention center. And, you know, we're real proud of the 10th year here. And, you know, we're just looking for bigger and better things every year. But yeah, those contestants, they are ready. Whereas before, they might have hit their first NFR and been a little starstruck. But right now, they're not, because they got the next best thing. They're competing at Cowboy Christmas, and there's fans there throughout the day watching everybody compete. And yeah, they are. They're fearless. So when they show up at NFR and we got three or four rookies, they may be rookies per the NFR standards, but they're not like rookies from 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right. It's true. Tommy Joe, jump in, because I'm going to hog him if I'm not careful.
Well, I think it's interesting, and I think people should take note of the fact that Las Vegas Events, a couple comments, Las Vegas Events underwrites this event. They're just like other rodeo committees, which is, we've had questions about, well, why isn't everybody voted in there for personnel and all and all? Well, these guys pick their personnel, they create their own show, and they underwrite it. Now, it looks like a pretty safe deal to underwrite it if you're knocking back a couple hundred million in economic impact. So that's a good, that's a good investment in the sport. But the other thing that now my brain left me that I wanted to bring up is, tell me about a couple just odd things. You came in and went to work there for Pat in 01, but you've had a couple things happen that you've had to deal with that people don't understand as the underwriter of an event, right? That I do. And that is, you know, you had 9/11. Right. And so tell me about some stories. You had some tragedies in Vegas that, you know, shook up, I'm sure, you guys to the core that put on events there. But share with us a little bit. You know, it's not as easy as it looks, is what I'm getting at.
It's not. And just to point out, you mentioned, I'll get into the stories, but the personnel, PRCA and the NFRC committee, there are, a handful of selected personnel that's voted on, while there's a lot of the non-selected personnel that we might bring in through Alan Reinheimer. But there is a process that we go through with announcers and music and judges and all sorts of stuff. But there's a process on that. So we just don't hire away. We've got a great relationship and collaboration with the PRCA, and they bring a lot of the judges and key positions in, but we do have a process where you can apply for the NFR in certain positions and you can get voted on. So anyway, I just want to clarify that. But you know, every time you put on a performance, you know, you're always worried. You know, Tommy Joe, you're outdoors, I believe, up in Utah. So you got to always worry about weather and all. But at Thomas & Mack, my very first year in 23, we had the unfortunate campus shooting a couple days before. Shootings happen all over the place, and every one of them is one too many. And this happened like on a Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. And the campus-wide alerts went out. I had just left the Thomas & Mack, and one of my staffers, Shelby, called, and she goes, "Tim, where are you?" And I go, "I just left," and they were under lockdown. And unfortunately, due to what happened, we had to delay the very first performance that year. But it just showed the collaboration between the PRCA and the Thomas & Mack and UNLV. We had to, what was important that year was we had to keep the 10 performances, because at first we were like, well, we'll pay the 10 days of money, spread it over 9 days. But that was a non-starter with a lot of people due to the history and the records and everything. So it took about a day, and we figured out that we were going to do a makeup performance on, I believe it was the following Wednesday, that was closed to the public, and that was our makeup performance. We invited the contestant families, first responders, UNLV staff. We had about 4,000 people in there, and of course, all the ticket holders, we refunded them 100%, but they would have rather gone. You know how rabid the fans are. They would have rather gone and supported that performance, but we had tough decisions to make. But that just shows you kind of when you do an event, you got to expect the unexpected. And we never, you know, we now have a cancellation plan a little more detailed than we had before. But a couple years back, if you guys recall, we had a traffic accident outside of Thomas & Mack, and they hit a power pole and the lights went out. And it was grueling about 30 minutes, because what happened to Thomas & Mack was those shutter lights had to get turned off. They had to cool down. And those announcers were telling stories and trying to, you know, keep the crowd in it. And people went, they gave them a break. They went to the restrooms. They went and got food and drink and all that. But that was another unexpected deal. But what, to Thomas and Mack's credit, the very following year, we had brand new lights put into Thomas and Mack so that they were instantaneous, so that an accident of that sort or power outage would never affect a rodeo again. So I'm rambling a little bit on a couple of our operational hiccups you have, but those happen. But a lot of these things fans don't even know about, smaller instances, but we try to take care of situations before the fans would notice it. But those are a couple instances certainly where fans were aware of what was going on.
You know, as hardcore as NFR fans are, I know that it's always been, you know, tricky. I've talked to Sean Davis a lot over the years about, you know, do you hold the re-ride for after the rodeo? You know, do you not? Yeah. Can you speak any? I know that if people don't understand how to the second the synchronization of the production of the NFR is, and it's like a well-oiled machine isn't even enough to say how detailed. There are literally people that I've watched that sit there and write down to the second, you know, how much, and then it's analyzed every night. Like, but there's like a perfect, what is the perfect length of time for a perf at the NFR? And is, I don't even know how to ask the question,
it's a great question. And we have pre-Patrick Gotch, the late, great Patrick Gotch, before he came to us and convinced us to add commercials, which helped the Cowboy Channel, our rodeo performance was in that 1 hour and 55 range, okay? Because we wanted to get the rodeo fans over to Thomas and Mack and then get them back to the hotels, because there's so many after dark activities. I told Tommy Joe a few days ago that there is 128 concerts after hours in Las Vegas at all these hotels. So that's important. But the synchronization, Kendra, is now about 2 hours and 20 minutes because we added all the commercials. But now we got an in rodeo entertainment committee, and we work year round on how to fill those 6 commercial breaks, and including the Medal of Honors and the military programs, the KISS cams, all the other things. It's our team works very hard on trying to entertain the fans during those 3-minute timeouts. And it's important that we keep everything fresh. We've got a couple new surprises this year that I can't tell you about, but you'll like those when, having to do with the 85th Cowboys and Champions coming back. So we're bringing something back from 1985. That'll be fun. But we work on it year-round. We don't want a 3-hour rodeo when we could finish it in 2 hours and 20 and get the fans back to dinner and shows or whatever they else want to do in Las Vegas after the performance.
What are you wearing on throwback night? Have you thought about it and picked out what kind of tight little jeans you're going to wear and how you're going to look on throwback night?
I'm going to call either Bo Gardner, who's my resident stylist, or Jeff Chadwick, and they're going to give me something to wear. There's an ad that just came out on Throwback Thursday, and we have 11 wonderful, talented ladies that work at Las Vegas events, and they got dolled up one day, and they went over to Thomas and Mack and had a photo shoot, and in the event guide that just came out, there's a couple ads of all these ladies that are the LV ladies, we call them, and they're just dolled up in 85 throwback clothing. And it was just a great photo and a great experience there. But Tommy Joe, it's either Bo or Jeff Chadwick's going to tell me, give me something to wear because I don't have anything from 1985 into Western attire.
Okay.
What well, what we gives you the most?
All of our viewers.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kendra. Go ahead. We want to remind all of our viewers, we can reach back out to Tim. So any of you nose spinners that have any specific questions in the future, Tim is very good about responding to me. Yeah. If you want to reach out to us, you can text us at 817-668-2395 or email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com. Wanted to throw that in there. Our nose spinners are pretty devout. Like your consumers at the NFR. And so they may have some questions I might have to text you, get some answers to in the future.
I'm happy to. Probably a lot of the no spinners or ticket holders or sponsors. So they, rodeo fans are the best fans out there. They're brand loyal. They love their cowboys and cowgirls. And they're, we love it. We love it when it turns into Cowboy Town here coming up in 16 days and 13 minutes.
As that's counting down, what gives you the most anxiety leading up? What happens when that says one day? What's got your hair on fire?
Or gray.
Yeah, gray, Kendra. You know, next time I'm on here, if I ever come back, I'm wearing a ball hat. But the first day at NFR with the ticket scanning through. I'm an old ticket guy. I came up through the ranks here at LVE. I was Pat's ticket and operation guy. We go over and check barcodes with the Thomas & Mack barcode readers and all that. And I get a report. And once those doors open and I'm looking on my phone and the barcodes are just populating and all that, it's really day one. We all have anxiety about getting the plaza ready, getting pro rodeo zone ready, the shuttles running on time and all that. And once everybody gets through day one, there's kind of hiccups and all. You fix them overnight. We meet, we have a chat, text line. We fix things and come day two. The fans that might have noticed things on day one, those things are rectified. And then I always like to say it's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. I feel like I'm Bill Murray and I get up and I listen to the same song and I get up and do the same routine, except it's day two, three, four. We got hump day on day five or six. We argue in house here. I say it's day six. Day five, you're getting to the top of the mountain. Day six, we just want to make sure the rodeo fans have a great time. We critique ourselves. We meet throughout the spring, summer, and fall. We take notes, and we try to improve each department of things that, and we hang our ego at the door, okay? I might come in and put comments about something I saw at Cowboy Christmas, or someone might say something about the shuttles and all that from different departments. The whole bottom line is we listen to the fans. We survey them as well. And we listen to them. We take Michael Mack's survey. We take a look at the high comments that come in, and we try to figure out how to fix the biggest issues that fans have. So rodeo fans and their experience is probably our number one anxiety, because we want them to have fun. We want them to come back and talk about Las Vegas and all that. So it's important to us.
I'm just saying, over these years, Las Vegas Events is to be so commended for, I mean, you guys do so many things people might not even realize. And then you look back 5 or 10 years and realize, like, it's aptly named the NFR experience, like official NFR experience, I guess it is. But like, you guys never stop raising the bar. And that is, it's true. And sometimes because I'm a media person, and so oftentimes I'm, working with Michael Mack or Bo Gardner, and Brylin on the Junior NFR or whatever. But every once in a while, I find myself saying to them, why would you guys do that? Like, why would you guys go so out of your way to do such a small thing? Or why would you guys, go for pay that expense? Or what? Like, why would you guys do it? Every single time their answer is because it makes the NFR better. And I'm like, I try to like knock them off their feet. Oh, come on. Why do you really do it? And they're like, no, really. And I believe them. because that's what they do every day. And this is my 39th NFR. And I'm like, it just keeps like the bar higher, higher, higher. Because, yeah. And that is like, yeah, you guys can be super cocky, but you're humble and you work, keep working harder. And I think that's super commendable.
We do. I mean, the staff is so passionate about things, and our ticket staff, they care about every season ticket holder. I did that job for 15 to 20 years, and I could still sit and somebody could bring up somebody's name, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's from Oklahoma. He's had tickets in one section 115 or 232. They're personal. I love talking to rodeo fans. They would call me and on ticket issues and things like that. And we listen to you. We listen to you. The surveys are important. And Michael and the team work so hard on that. And while we can't resolve everything that rodeo fans might come back with, we take a look at them. And it's very important to the team that every department has maybe six initiatives that we work on from year to year. And those six that we worked on the year before, they're ingrained after that year. And now we're looking for new improvements. But it's just, it's the rodeo fans are our number one concern and priority. And that goes from me all the way down to interns that we have. And they care about the rodeo experience that our fans have.
Well, I think that that's probably summarizes why that's the Super Bowl and why Vegas hosts it. You know, there's always been conversation, but at the end of the day, the Super Bowl of rodeo, Vegas has met the mark for the fans, for the competitors, for the contract personnel, and for everybody else. You know, over 5,000 rooms are being, you know, used that you guys put out just for the people that are competing and putting it on. So hats off to you, Tim. What a great job. Congratulations on what, 3 years now? 3 years in the saddle?
2 years. Yeah, almost 3 years coming up here at the end of rodeo, but
I thought you were going to read me the time yet. I thought you were going to say in 17 hours and 2 minutes or whatever. That's what I figured was coming.
No, I've already hit that, beat that horse too many times. But no, we're coming up on year three, but I'm only as good as the staff. And I came up through the ranks, and our team is, again, they're so passionate. They care about what they do in every different department. And Kendra, we've worked with you. We worked Tommy Joe with you out in the pro rodeo zone. Everybody we interact with, we just want to make sure if there's questions, if we could connect people where we can. It's important to us. And hopefully we accomplish that every year. And then it's Groundhog Day. We get up and do it again.
Well, every first performance is a dress rehearsal. So we know how that goes.
Yeah, it really is. So we're excited. We're excited. It's coming on us soon, and can't wait to see you guys here in town in a week to 10 days.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, all you no spinners. This has been episode 85 with Tim Keener and, of course, the glorious and one of my favorites, Kendra Santos. Thanks for joining us. Shoot us your responses, your questions, your feedback. Remember, we're off, and you'll see us at the East Commons. Come see us every morning at 9:30. We're a part of those 350,000 people that come and shop. Come and see our rally live. It's No Spin Rodeo at the Cent Stage. This is it. You guys all have a blessed, safe, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Tim, and to you, Kendra, and to everybody else. We'll see you in Las Vegas, where it turns into Cowboy Town, right?
Come on down. We're looking forward to it. And it's ironic that we're the 85th episode, because we're bringing back all the 85 champions to celebrate their championships from the 40 years ago. So it's very ironic. I feel better about everything's going to happen because episode 85 to 2025. I love it. So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Have a good night.